All right, it's the Podfathers. This episode's brought to you by The Books. I'm going to tell you right now, don't waste any more time. Go get your wife some flowers for Valentine's Day. You know you're going to have to do it. There's absolutely no reason to wait. We always put it off. We always procrastinate. And then you're in trouble because they didn't get delivered on time or you don't get them at all. So just do it right now. Stop listening to this podcast. Press pause. You can come back to it. Go to thebooks.com /mailtime, promo code mailtime. When you spend $60, you're going to get 20% off. The Books has the best, most beautiful flowers in the world. And when I say in the world, I literally mean it. They're grown on the side of a volcano. They're grown in the hills of Colombia. These flowers are fire. They're the type of flowers that your wife deserves because she pushed a child out of her body for you. That's a pretty shitty deal if you ask me. Hey, thanks for putting that kid into the world. Here's some flowers. But hey, girls are dumb. They like flowers. Buy them.
If you ever listened to this podcast and said, oh yeah, I kind of done that before, buy your wife.
Buy your wife flowers.
You owe her flowers right now.
If you relate to this podcast in any way, shape, or form, you're going to need to buy your wife some flowers for Valentine's Day. So get it in right now. Place your order. Set your delivery day. You don't have to worry about it when February 14th rolls around. Books.com/KFC. Promo code KFC. 20% off when you spend $60.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
We're back in studio. Chaps is back at home. The Super Bowl dust is settled. We welcome Clem and M back into the mix. What's up, bud? We missed you.
It was good. It was a nice little break. You guys being, Chap saying I'm in the nice hot Houston weather here, and I thought he was like being like, oh, it's so hot, like we're, and then I was like, no, it's fuck you, Chaps. He's again digging into me here.
Always.
I would never do that to you, Clemmy. We missed you, buddy.
We missed your voice. This show is a three-man show for a reason, because we all have our different points of view, our different takes on these topics. And so today we're going to run through some of them. We've all got a couple personal stories to tell. But first I want to start with some current events that were that's appropriate to us. Tom Brady, 5-time Super Bowl champion, greatest of all time, drives the knife through my heart. Patrick McGillicuddy's running around the parade today. But after the Super Bowl, when Tommy was celebrating with his family, he greeted his father with a big, fat, wet kiss on the lips. It was weird and creepy and awkward and makes my skin crawl and makes me, like, shrug my shoulders up into my neck thinking about it. Patriots fans, of course, are like, what's the big deal? Because they're fucking asshole Patriots fans. What's the big deal is it's weird. That's the big deal. Okay.
Yeah, like I would like this. I mean, I'm not a homophobic dude by any means. I mean, I'll stop short of anything of just straight up sucking a dick, but I'm not going to kiss my dad on the mouth.
Yeah, it's not, you know? It's not homophobia.
Like, I'll kiss plenty just balls on the cheek. Yeah. I would kiss like any, like, but your dad, dude, like, and I was trying to, when we talked about the topic, I was thinking, how old is too old?
And that's the question.
That's why I'm glad I have girls, because I feel like,
oh yeah,
a girl could come up and give her dad a kiss on the lips until like maybe 8-9 years old, and it's not like crazy weird.
I with a girl, if you're not being like photographed
and there's no tongue involved,
well, of course there's no tongue. The problem is
that's what's weird, because my daughter will she'll like try to like kiss me like on the lips like for a photo. I'm like, no,
that's the thing is, if it's just even, all right, no matter what, kissing your dad is weird, but let's say it happens when it's just like a quick thing. It's not bad. When there's a still frame of your lips smushed together, it's fucking gross. It's like Tom Crean. We've been making fun of the Tom Crean video picture forever. It's. I think with girls, though, you can get away with it a little bit longer. Again, as long as it's not like other people involved or seeing it in pictures or whatever. But with a dude, with guys, what do you say the cutoff is?
I mean, I think
it's definitely before 39.
The fifth Super Bowl ring is where we draw the line.
I would say Tommy is 30 years late. I think you can get away with it up to like 9 or 10.
I was saying like elementary school, like first grade. So yeah, yes. 9, 10 could work as well. Your daughter will tell you, like, we can't kiss on the lips anymore, because now those lips are no longer your property.
That will be, she'll probably tell you when it's over, really.
And this, let me say this. I went out yesterday and I was talking to Trey. I said, we have to be fair. We've been making fun of Crean for years. We have to make fun of Brady. And they're like, you hater. If Eli Manning was smooching Archie on the lips
after
the Super Bowl, all those Patriots fans would have been like, we lost the Super Bowl, but we won the battle because right. Eli's kissing Archie on the goddamn lips. Don't give me that shit, Patriots.
I mean,
fans.
That I would have thought that was more likely. Eli looks like a, Archie, yes. Like he kissed his dad.
Definitely. I'm surprised after getting to hear and know Tom Brady Sr. a little bit that he's a lip kisser. Because that dude, he kind of seems like he fought in Nam and he's all like riled up all the time and nasty.
He was spitting fire this week.
That's
too.
What I'm saying. Yeah, he's a riled up dude. I did not take him for a mouth kisser for his 39-year-old son.
I don't think that that's the norm for the Bradys. I feel like because you know what his dad is, it's been an emotional week for his dad.
Yep.
He's been sticking up for his son. The mom's there with the whole cancer thing, and like she's battling back to be able to be at the Super Bowl. Tom's dealing with all his Deflategate shit, coming back from 25-point down. It was basically the perfect storm for a dad kiss. Like everything that led up to it, you're just like, fuck it, man. Everything's going our way. Let's just go in for the real thing.
I'm surprised they didn't start making out after that rundown. Jesus Christ. What a fucking few months it's been for the Bradys. Still, man, I don't care what goes on. It's weird. Dads with sons, why don't you weigh in? Let us know. We got the girls. We know all about the girls. We don't know shit about boys. I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things. You know, a lot of shit changes when you have kids, and maybe when you have a boy, that changes too. Maybe you're like, no, it's totally normal. I don't know. Hillary Duff.
And a lot of that's it's a societal pressure,
yeah,
too.
For sure, like, no doubt.
Even now with my daughter being 11, almost 12, when I'm walking down the street, like, and she'll want to hold my hand still, like, sometimes. And I think, like, in the back of my head, is anybody thinking this is creepy? Like,
right. It's natural.
But it's not. Like, she's holding my hand because she loves me and I'm her dad, and I try to be a good dad, you know, like, that's why. And I will take that until she's fucking 58, like
right.
If she wants.
I was going to say, man, I feel like this is one of those things where you got to take it as long as you can because you'll be looking back being like, oh, now she hates my guts. It's natural for her to want to hold your hand. It's natural for you to be like, this is fucking weird.
And you don't want to be like hurt. You don't want to tell her like it's weird. You don't want her
no
make
way.
Her feel
uncomfortable. Dude.
You know, like I'd rather feel like a little tinge of uncomfortability than making her feel uncomfortable.
Bro, that is the first step towards daddy issues. My dad says it's weird to hold my hand. I'm out of here. That you don't want to do, chaps. Take the uncomfortability, internalize it, and deal with it. Because the minute you start messing with your daughter, you're going down a path you don't want to go. But Hillary Duff was in the news like a month or two ago. She put up an Instagram at like Disney World kissing her son. Same thing.
That's right.
People were pissed off. And they were like, ew, this is gross. I think it's a lot less gross for a This is a double standard, I guess, but for a mom to kiss a son than a dad to kiss a daughter, I think. Yeah.
Well, you see that double standard go across the board. I mean, even with, like, teachers getting involved with sex scandals and stuff like that, the vitriol for the dude is much stronger than the vitriol for the woman who does it.
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like Hillary Duff came down hard on her for kissing her son.
Didn't Angelina Jolie and her brother have some? Yeah, it was like a little sensual too.
I'm pretty sure they fucked. Allegedly, parody law.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
they
had sex before.
Very much a Star Wars type situation.
Again, though, the 39-year-old man kissing his grown ass fire spitting father is just weird. It just throws you off.
Weird. It's not. We're not saying it's gay. It's just weird. Okay.
And the Tom Cream picture, though, to be fair, someone raised this point yesterday. He's, like, holding his son's hand and, like, shaking it. And he's, like, bringing him in to close the deal on him. And that's what makes it a little.
That was romantic as fuck, that kiss. I've never kissed that girl anything even close to that romantic.
The part about the Brady kiss that's really uncomfortable is because the picture of him kissing Giselle, like, his lips are more pursed than. Like,
yeah.
He's a little more open mouth with his dad than he is with
his supermodel
wife. It's like, come on, like if you're gonna give Senior a little bit of passion, give it to the Giselle too.
Maybe we found the one thing Tom Brady can't do. Doesn't know how to kiss. He either kisses his dad too much, doesn't kiss his hot wife enough. Fuck Tom Brady. I hate his guts.
Ties are like kissing your sister, winning in overtime the Super Bowl is like
kissing
your
father.
Hell yeah. Just bring it in, Papa.
Now Tom Brady is not the only one doing kissing these days, apparently. Now, this is a milestone episode for Clem and the Podfathers here. Sienna kissed a boy and she liked it.
That was a vicious segue right there. When you're the victim of a segue, it hurts. Because
you know it's coming and you can't stop it.
It was a train coming down
Sienna
the tracks.
Sienna is smooching boys at daycare?
Daycare, yep.
Oh, boy.
So
fatherhood just got real, real for you.
This is the whole, you're paying for the wedding, you got the shotgun ready for the boys through high school, all that stuff. I didn't even get to 3 years old.
It has begun.
To have to get my, like, daddy bear, you know, face on here. And I can't be the nice, happy blogger. I should call in for
the
phone right now.
I got
to get phone Clem out.
Angry phone Clem.
Just
stop kissing my fucking daughter.
Just step out of the studio and go into the other office and go just, I guess, the bathroom and call him.
So, as I told you guys in the past, she is a hugger. She hugs the kids when they get sad. That's just kind of her thing.
I wonder where she gets that from.
And I was thinking about this. The reason I don't think you like my hugs, I don't think I've ever hugged you before.
No.
I don't think I've ever hugged you, Kevin, because you don't seem like someone that would accept a hug.
I would gladly accept a Clem hug. There's just really never any reason for us to hug. We're always, like, losing and shit.
You're always losing, exactly. It's like, it's sad hugs.
At the best one, we would have hugged. We would probably kiss on the lips.
So Sienna, after class one day, a teacher comes up to us, and I'll leave the names anonymous here other than Sienna. I'll say Mikey's the kid name. They said Sienna and Mikey
sitting in a tree.
They are sitting in a tree, and they are K-A-S-S-I-N-G. They are spending a lot of time together, and they've been kissing each other a little too much.
Shit.
And I just see red at this point. Yeah. And I'm just red. I have smoke. I'm like, and you know, you have to, like, it's like when you stub your toe and you have to just basically eat it. You know what I mean? I'm just like, okay, that's good. And now this is the thing. We're a loving family. We kiss a lot. We hug a lot. Yeah, that's just how we do. You guys know, when you have your kid, it's literally like the most beautiful, perfect thing in your mind, right?
Right.
So we kiss a lot. The thing is, now she's relaying this and then kissing. I don't need my daughter to become the daycare kissing slut at the age of 2 years old. And I don't even know what to do right now. Like, we stop kissing as much. We tell her, don't kiss. You kiss mommy and daddy and Mima and Papa and Nana and Poppy. But I'm, like, at a loss right now. Other than beating this kid's ass, I don't know what to do.
You got to go same germs. Mommy, daddy, grandma, and grandpa all have the same germs.
Well, bro, I'll tell you
our
what.
Our friends don't have the same germ as us.
That's also the worst part of this whole thing, the germs. Forget about the boy
aspect.
Real
germs are bad, too.
Your kid's coming home with more fucking germs now.
That fucking kid probably gave me the stomach flu
that
I had on Christmas.
That's
I can't eat Chinese food because of Mikey.
I think the germs is a good call. Have you given that speech before? Chaps?
Oh, dude, yeah, that's how I just threw it out there so fast to Clem. Like, that's a thing that happens all. Because, I mean, I feel like if you're a good family, you're hugging, you're kissing your kids a lot because that affection is needed. I mean, just for nurturing points. I mean, you kiss them on the head, kiss them on the mouth, like, hey, see you later, love you, bye. Like, every time you go somewhere, even if it's to the grocery store for 5 minutes. So naturally, because they grow up in that environment, whenever they want to show affection to their friends because they're getting along well, it's going to transfer over. So I would always just been like, hey, we give our friends hugs. You can give your friends hugs, but we keep our mouths to ourselves and to our family because we all have the same germs.
That's why they call him Uncle Chaps. He's the wise man of the show. He's the elder statesman in terms of fatherhood. We spread the circle, circle, dot, dot propaganda. Cooties begins now in Sienna's eyes. She learns about cooties. We have to have the cootie talk.
Dude. Big time cootie talk, man. I'm a big cooties guy.
Condolences to you for having to do the cootie talk at, what, like two and a half or whatever?
Two and a half, man. We'll be on the Birds and the Bees by 5 at this fucking point.
Yo, that's 2017 for you,
yeah,
man.
That's true.
That's the world we live in now. Fucking hell.
How did you get Snapchat on my phone? You don't even have a phone. You downloaded another one on my phone.
I just got myself a new MVMT watch today. Opened up a new box. It's a black, like, suede leather band. It's got light blue.
I got one in the mail, too, yesterday.
Me, too. We all did.
Oh, okay. It's the Podfather's edition of MVMT watches. This one is fire. I have a bunch at this point, but this one is my new favorite.
That was my number two. That was my number two pick right there.
The black on black. I have black on black with the, like, baby blue hands. What one did you get?
I got black on black with the silver. It's my call my Jay-Z watch, all black everything. You know? That's what I wear at the tux.
Tapsy?
And I got the oversized leather strap with the rose gold face.
Yeah, I got that one too. Rose gold fire.
That's Don't Mess With Texas right there.
They got all sorts of combinations, colors, bands, metal, leather, suede, all sorts of stuff in between. They're a full-blown movement. There's over 500,000 people worldwide who have bought them. They are high-quality watches that look and feel like that good that would cost you like $400,000 or $500,000. MVMT watches start at just $95. Great deal. They range up to like $130, I think, for some of the more luxurious ones. But for just $95, you can join the movement. So head over to MVMTwatches.com/KFC. Use the promo code KFC at checkout. You're going to get 15% off that order. Once again, MVMTWatches.com. Promo code KFC, 15% off. Join the movement. So it was a long, long trip for your boy KFC. The first leg of which was absolutely and utterly pointless because I just sat on a bus with my boss who had a toothache. That was the first leg of my Houston trip where I was getting the coldest shoulder. And the whole time I'm just sitting there like I could just be home right now for no fucking reason. I'm missing Shay. My wife is mad. I was like, God damn it. Like, fast forward 13 days later, 4 TV appearances and a goddamn Super Bowl later, and I'm back. And I walked into the house, and it was actually...
Now, what was... Like, this is something that we need to go over just for honesty purposes.
Okay.
Was the cold shoulder over something that was in your mind worth it? Or was it something that if you were in town, it wouldn't be that bad?
It was a little bit of both. There was an overreaction on her part. Whenever I go away, there's an overreaction on her part. She wants me away. And then I was a dick on national TV and said some things that she was not very proud of. Our family's watching and that kind of stuff. That kind of stoked the fire a little bit. It was a combo. So I thought I was probably in the right, and then as the week went on, I just started digging myself a hole. And I got the chance to meet Mike Vrabel at the Super Bowl, who is an awesome dude, and him and his wife,
yeah,
Jen. Jen is like, they are real stoolies. They know who we are. Vrabel is no longer like drinking the Patriots Kool-Aid, so I was able to like talk to him a little bit and hang out. And I told him, I was like, man, I am walking into a buzzsaw when I go home. He goes, ooh, 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 ooh. I call it the Viper Pit. I call it jumping into the Viper Pit. And she just started laughing. And I'm like, this, and that's when I realized, like, this shit is universal. I'm sure for him it was when he was on the road for playing professional sports. For us, it's when you got to go on a regular business trip. Whatever it may be, when you're away and your wife's got to deal with shit that you usually deal, you're dead. And she becomes a viper. And you got to jump into that pit.
And his wife was quick-witted and could be ruthless.
Oh,
she's
a true viper. Like, snap, yeah. Bite you on the neck.
She's like, it sounds like she's like the actual Viper from Game of Thrones.
Yes, exactly.
She's
dancing around and shit.
It's like poison, and she's getting him spears.
She was awesome, but she just started laughing when he said the Viper Pit because she knows. They all know. And so I was like getting off the plane. I'm like, I'm walking into the Viper Pit. And luckily, my wife was actually out when I was coming back home, and her mom was watching Shay. So I got to have like a reunion before jumping into the Viper Pit, and it was like the best moment of my life. Shay gave me like the best reception ever. I felt like a billion bucks. This is just coming off of television. This is just coming off of like the most successful week we've ever had. I'm riding high, and then I see her, and it was like none of that shit even mattered. She like ran over, like doing her like goofy faces, hugging me. She would not let me put her down. I was like, oh, because I don't know about you. Like sometimes I'm like, what if my kid doesn't like me? What if I'm like not around enough or whatever? I was like, all right, she fucking likes me. We're good to go.
Yeah.
And I texted you
guys. Especially feel that way when mom's around.
Yes, exactly. You always feel like second fiddle. But I had never been away, really, other than like maybe a night here or there for like a wedding or a family event or something like that. Someone babysitted her. I had never been away, certainly not for 2 weeks. So I was also like, she's too young enough to probably forget me at this point. And so the reunion was that much better for me. I know I texted you guys right away, and you were both like, oh, it is one of the best feelings in the world. Chaps, you were away with me. You can FaceTime and talk with them, and they're old enough to like kind of understand what's going on. So it's probably a little bit different, but I'd imagine it still feels good to get back home sweet home.
Yeah, like mine was a little bit different because I got in there on Sunday, and then we were going, and I was telling somewhere else that the struggle part of this age is that they want to talk to you in the morning. They're used to their routine. So usually when I'm out of town, if I'm in New York or something, I wake up at 6:30, 7 o'clock, so I can FaceTime before she goes to daycare. Because normally, if I can control my own life, I'm in bed by 11 o'clock, no matter where I am
in
the world.
Right.
But this was a little bit different.
This trip was not like that.
Yeah. So this show, I mean, the show wasn't over until damn near midnight after the Facebook Live. And then you're hanging out with Stoolies at the bar and stuff. So you're not getting in until like 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're just absolutely fucking beat. But then that familiar FaceTime ring plays, and you know you got to answer it. And then once I'm up, I'm up.
Yep.
So you're basically running on 4 or 5 hours of sleep every single night. and trying to be funny, and then you got to go into the radio show and you're reading comments like, there doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of energy on the radio. Well, no,
well,
shit,
there's no
dude.
Fucking
like,
energy.
Everybody's only going on like 2 hours of sleep, man. Like, we're not going to be through the roof. We've pounded as many Red Bulls and taken Adderall and done whatever we can, you know, but
at some point the human
there.
Body reaches its breaking point. It was actually funny watching some of the guys, you know, there's a new crop of Barstool people who are young enough, but the most of us are getting up there. It was a sorry sight. The Totino's house in the mornings was gruesome. I mean, the hangovers, it stunk. It was just, it looked like a bomb went off. We don't know how to do that anymore. I have hung them up, especially the last night, man, in the club. Forget about it. Club Clancy, that ain't a thing. That ship has completely sailed.
My wife asked me if I was upset I was missing the party. I said, we're in bed right now at, you know, 8 o'clock at night on a Friday. I don't miss a goddamn thing about not being – I would have thought about dressing up for the club all week and been like, I'm going to look like the poorest person there.
Oh, it was the worst. It was the absolute worst.
And that was the best part about my going home is, and I hate to say best part, but my daughter got sick, like really sick on Thursday night, was throwing up, had to go to the doctor, had like a high fever. So I was like, guys, I got to go. So I didn't end up going to the party. I came home early Friday morning instead of going to the party, which is a solid decision by me because like it.
That, chaps.
Even whenever you go, when you go out of town, you come home and you get the reunion. The reunion hug when they've been sick and want to tell you about them throwing up at 4 years old is wonderful. Because she's
imagine.
Even more cuddly and quiet and calm. So it was even better.
As the elder statesman, you're going to go into my doghouse because my wife was like, you should have just come home. You didn't need to go to the party. You could have just come home after TV was done. I was like, fuck. Damn it!
Mm-hmm. When I went to...
Well, if Shay would have done her part and got sick,
yes, that's what I. That's what I really needed. Shit.
You know Sienna would have been sick as shit.
Sick
if
as
she probably was. It's probably because she's kissing too many boys.
God damn, asshole, stop it. I can't let my daughter becoming the kissing bandit become a thing on this show. I told you this in confidence. I had a similar issue. I think it was about the same age Sienna was when I went to Latvia. So I was like freaking out about going there. That's, you know, I'm sure you,
sure.
You know, when you guys were going to Comedy Central, it was like, you know, a lot of nerves, a lot of excitement at the same time. And like, for the first time in my life, I'm like, yo, if this plane goes down, like, I'm leaving a kid behind. And, like, you get a little more responsible at that, too. It's like, I don't give a shit about if I fucking die tomorrow, whatever. But it's like, now that I have a kid, if I leave a wife behind, she'll find someone much better than me, and she'll be happier down the road.
She'll probably be thrilled secretly.
Yeah, exactly. And she'll probably find a dad that'll do a better job than I will.
Oh,
but,
stop.
Nonetheless, I would have felt terrible about it. So the whole time I was FaceTiming with her, the hours were all off. It was like 6 hour difference, and it was really tough, and you're missing the hell out of them. And that's the one thing I've realized, like, I always had my parents around growing up. It's really tough. I couldn't imagine, like, growing up with, like, a dad that's in the military or whatever, and you're FaceTiming with them. That's like, the toughest thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not the same. I mean, it's better than a phone call.
Used to be, yeah.
But, I mean, still just not the same. And I'll never forget, it was the nicest thing I think my wife's ever done for me. I got off the train after getting back from Latvia. Get off the train, and my daughter literally had a sign, and it said Clemzingus on it, and it was like she was picking me up, and I'll awesome. Never forget that for the rest of my life. Just had a smile ear to ear, said we missed you. And it was
moms
awesome.
Are so good about that.
They're
shit.
So
I would never fucking think to do that. I gotta get better.
If she walked in the door after like a week, I'd be like, oh hey, you're back.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. I'd be like, here's the kid.
The difference between my older daughter and my younger daughter, like as far when I'm gone, is pretty wild. Like I come home for six days, and my younger daughter is like, you were gone forever. And my older daughter just kind of looks at her like, huh. Like,
right, yeah, you have no idea. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that motherfucker was gone for 9 months.
Yeah, you don't know what I've seen. You don't know what I've been through. Yeah.
That ain't shit.
That's good, though.
I think there's a sweet spot of whenever you go. Because, like, when I came home, like, my daughter didn't recognize me at all. Like, ran right by me and didn't even know who I was.
Right.
So there's definitely, like, for those that are listening in the military, it's like, we're going out of town in 5, 6 days, 2 weeks, and it seems like forever. And, like, legit dudes and women, like, when I was coming up to New York one time, I met with a major who said she was going to Afghanistan for 15 months. Had an 8-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 13-year-old, and was going for 15 months. Like,
that is crazy,
15 months,
man.
Your children are different
people yeah.
By the time
especially
you come
at those
back.
Ages. Like, you do almost a year and a half, and they're a totally different
I mean,
person.
13 That's years old to go from eighth grade to starting halfway through your high school year, you're a different human being.
That's
Milestone
wild.
City, man. That's Milestone City, yeah. Those ages right there.
Right. My dad used to, he was in the Merchant Marines and used to ship out for a few months at a time. And he said that's, my mom used to try to keep like his shirts and stuff that smelled like him, like in my brother's crib. But when he started coming home and my brother couldn't like recognize him anymore was when he was like, it's just not worth it anymore. But I don't know how you did it. Hats off to you, Chapsy.
Well, I mean, for me, it was easier. It would be a lot more difficult now. Like when my daughter was, my daughter was about Shay's age whenever I left for the first time to go for a long time. And I feel like it would have been easier then because she didn't really know.
Right.
Like McCartney now, if I was like, I won't be back from this point until almost Christmas
she
of next year.
Freak out.
She would be like, what in the fuck are you talking about?
She would literally say that. What literally in the fuck are you talking about, Dad?
But at that point, like you're 12 months old, you know, you're like, hey, I'm going to leave for whatever. She's like, see you, daddy. Like, you know, like, I'll see you later.
This new Chaps couldn't do this. Is soft Chaps now. We did that. Hardened Chaps was back in the day. This is big softy Chaps now. I feel like.
Yeah, I definitely could not do it now.
Well, what's important is when you go away to be able to have a good daycare to rely upon your kids. It sounds like there is some trouble in paradise with Chapsy House and daycare.
Let me adjust the microphone.
Oh, boy. I feel like we're going to get angry Chaps.
Yeah, give it to me.
So, McCartney's bad. I think that's been established. Like, there's no reason around the bush.
Wait, the one you call little fucker? Is that the one we're talking
about? Yeah, that one. The little terrorist. McCartney bin Laden. That's the one. So, I know she's bad. And I also am aware that I was bad. I was a bad fucking kid, man. Like, my entire life I grew up, I was a bad child. Not necessarily evil like McCartney, but just bad. Like, so when I was in kindergarten, which I went to twice, shout out for me for being too immature to go through the first time. I went through twice. The first time I had a teacher, and this bitch's name was Miss Whitaker.
We've all got a teacher with like a name like that.
That
you just
bitch's
fucking hate.
Name.
This bitch, Mrs. Whitaker, would put down because I was bad. I would finish my work, go hide under the desk because I was nervous. You know, I was like little. I was a skinny little fucker, so I was smaller than most of the other kids in class. And I had these five pieces of paper. Well, it was one piece of paper with five numbers on it that had a little bear on it. And every time I would get in trouble, I would have to take my little safety scissors, like a little asshole, and cut off one of the bears. And if I got down to, like, two bears, I had to write my name on the board. And if I had to write my name on the board with a check, I would have to tell my mom. And so every fucking day, I would go home in kindergarten, no bears left. I was all out of fucking bears. All my bears were. And eventually, when you take somebody's bears away every fucking day, they don't give a shit
you
about
it. Stop giving a fuck about the bear.
I mean, at that point, I would just walk in and be like, take my fucking bears, you cunt. Like, I don't care about my fucking bears.
Wipe your ass with the bears.
I feel like that's where McCartney's getting at school. Because, like, every single day is like, McCartney hit her friend. McCartney scratched her friend. McCartney's been in timeout. McCartney's not listening. Yesterday, I go in knowing good and well that she's been in trouble. And we've been trying to do everything we can at home. She gets home right away. She goes to timeout. She gets toys taken away. She goes to bed early. Like any little thing that we can figure out to do that might be a negative reinforcement for her actions, we've been trying to do. So I go in there yesterday, first day picking her up after I was out of town for the week. And I asked the teacher, like, how was her behavior today? She's like, well, she was pretty good in the afternoon. I wasn't here this morning, but I'm not sure. McCartney, did you hit your friend? McCartney, did you go to timeout, all that shit. I'm just like, let her fucking win one goddamn day,
real,
man.
Let's not.
I'm like getting so enraged, like sitting there talking to this bitch, and I'm just like trying to swallow everything before I explode in the daycare. Like, let the child win, dude. Like, let her have a day. I know she's bad, but she's looking at me, and at this point, when I'm taking her home in my truck, she's sitting in her car seat, and she's like, Dad, do I have to go to bed early tonight? Dad, are you going to take my toy away? Dad, do I have to sit on the bed when I go home? Dad, do I get to play in bubbles or in the bathtub? Like, every little thing. Like, she thinks and she knows that that's going to happen.
Right.
Like, so she's – just let her win one day, man. If she didn't have a problem with you, just say she was good. Like, let me reward her one day so she knows what positive reinforcement is as well instead of just fucking taking all of her goddamn bears.
I also it's annoying when you're here in daycare too. Like, she was good for me. I don't know about anything else. It's like you're all supposed to kind of be on the same page, because how are you supposed to, you know, maybe she was good or maybe she was bad. Maybe when you're handing it off, you need to know what went on in the morning. So it's like not on top of handling that the wrong way. It's like the one thing you don't want to hear is like, I don't know, I'm just here for my shift. I don't know what else happens on, you know, on anybody
and
else's
then
watch.
Asking her, she's fucking 4, man. Like, you wanted her to narc on herself?
Yeah, I'd be more pissed at my kid. I'd be more pissed at my kid narking on herself than I would at her, like, punching a kid in the face.
If she said, like, yeah, I did, I would have been like, now you're going in timeout. Because we don't tell on ourselves here. We snake it till we make it
in
this family.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And this is almost 24 hours later, and I'm still pretty fired up. So imagine how it was when I walked in the house and my wife was already home. And I'm like, we got to find a new fucking place. She must be bored. Like, she's not being challenged enough, which I think is a lot of it, because the age where she's at, she's pretty smart. She has, like, a pretty good memory, and she advances quickly. And I don't think that they're doing enough to stimulate her throughout the day. I mean, how many times can you fucking put together the same puzzles and read the same books that you've seen at this point for 8 months?
Right.
You know, and be really productive.
Right. So you're going to switch, you think? Or you think it's cooler heads will prevail?
Yeah, but that's such a nightmare,
I
dude.
Know.
I was looking through the Google ratings and like Yelp, and I was just like, oh my God, man, they all look the same. And how do you know? Because obviously all the directors at the schools are going to be awesome.
Yep.
Like almost every director at every school is going to be like, we have this curriculum and then we teach them this. And they learn sign language and Japanese and they speak Farsi and they learn how to make IEDs. Like they do all this fucking shit. And you're just like, no, you don't.
Yeah, it's like also like, I don't really need all that shit. I don't give a fuck about that. How are they going to handle my, 4-year-old? That's what matters.
It's like a car salesman. They're going to tell you, got fucking analog brakes, all 4-wheel drive. They all fucking drive. Yeah. They all do the same fucking thing.
And the difference between good teachers and bad teachers is so dramatic at the preschool level. And I would be a bad teacher if I was a preschooler, because I'm just trying to get through the day.
Right.
I know I'm not making a whole shit ton of money, so I'm just
I'm not
trying
making
to
a difference.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it from 8 to 5.
Right.
That's it. That's my goal. I want to work a 40-hour week, get some benefits, and get the fuck out of there.
Which is why I tip my cap to the daycare workers and teachers and nannies and shit who really take it seriously. Because, I mean, let's just call it spade a spade. I can barely take it that serious with my own kid, let alone with someone else's.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe the paycheck makes a difference. I'm doing the nanny life now, and I feel like awkward about it. You ever have like someone come like clean your apartment or something, and you're there, and you feel bad that they're like cleaning, but it's like, but you're paying them. But it's like you feel like you have like a slave walking around doing your work for you.
That's why I can't have an intern here. Like I don't want
right.
to. Hey, Glennie, go get me coffee. No, I feel like an asshole. I can get fucking two legs.
Exactly,
I can go coffee.
Exactly. I'm the same way. The nanny's a little bit different, but like when I'm home, like this morning was the first time I was like, well, I'm gonna try to take this train so you can like can you come over and then like drop me at the train station, and she's like, yeah. That's what my job is. Like, I'll take you to the train, and then I'll take care of your kid, and that's what goes on. But I'm like, I should, I'll get an Uber. She's like, no, stop. Don't worry about it. But I feel awkward as hell. I guess when I hand over a lump of cash at the end of the week, that's supposed to justify it all. But it just makes it very, it's a very different dynamic when it's like someone in your house doing things that you think you should probably be doing. But she's awesome. They take it so serious. I'm like, I don't even do this stuff with my own kids, so thank you.
I'm sorry, guys. I got one more thing to say about the fucking
Let it rip.
Situation.
Let it rip.
Let the hate out your heart. That's a Kevin Clancy line.
The biggest problem is they're like, they tell me all these issues that they're having with McCartney, and they're like, and we need to get this right. Like, what do you do at home? Like, she's fucking bad at home, too. Like,
you think that she's
I know she's bad. Like, lie to me. You deal with her badass during the day, and just lie to me and say, she was really good. And then I would wish I could say, like, why don't you act at home like you do at daycare? Because they put down, okay, motherfucker. So they
let it rip.
They put down on their fucking iPad little check-in chart every time McCartney eats her green beans. There is no fucking way she eats her green beans. No way. No way. If they can videotape her eating one potato, just one potato, without saying I'm allergic and this is poison, I will drop off a $10,000 check today. It cannot be done. Can't be done. Don't tell me she's bad. I fucking know she's bad, and she doesn't eat shit but macaroni and pizza. I know those things.
This is the same daycare that just gave her the iPad, right? And was like, we just fucking gave her
like
two.
Like, can you bring her an iPad? No.
Can I bring her an iPad?
Bring her an iPad. Can you teach? Can you do anything? If that's the case, I'll just fucking throw her out there with the lawnmower guy. And he can hang out. She probably liked that anyway. She likes monster trucks and fucking bulldozers and shit anyway. Just hang out with that dude.
Oh, that was a great job.
Actually, not a bad idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a cheaper version of Two Birds, One Stone, man.
Instead of learning, like, fucking math, you just learned a trade school. Just put her ass to work.
All right. I think we all need some serious bedtime stories. Do you want to start or finish, chaps? We'll let you.
I need to start.
Yeah, we'll let you finish. Clive, you got a bedtime story for us?
Yeah, I have a couple. I'll go with the one that is a little. So the bedtime story isn't a positive story about my child. It's about my wife. So Sienna is now at the age where
brownie points, motherfucker. Yeah. What is this going to be?
So she is at the age now where she's just, I want. She knows what I want. Toy Story. I want Toy Story. She doesn't get Toy Story. She cries. She gets Toy Story.
I'm getting to that.
The credits come on. She cries. I want more. So she
does this. She goes like, for like whatever it is that she wants. And I'm like, that is going to get real annoying.
And you want to be the parent to give in, but you don't want to give in too much. It's like a really delicate balance. So we were on the ride home from the supermarket the other day. And she's like, we have two things she loves. Mickey chips, which are like veggie chips shaped like Mickey, and applesauce. That's her two fucking in her wheelhouse now. So she's in the backseat, belligerently tired, just going, I want Mickey chips. I want applesauce. And she's just screaming for like 10 fucking minutes during the whole ride home. And my wife and I are like about to blow our brains out. And then she goes, and she's belligerently tired at this point. So she goes, I want Mickey sauce. I want Mickey sauce. And my wife and I just started cracking up. And it's like, we've said it before, like, you guys are a partnership, but there's also, like, there's stress that comes with it. You know, if one person isn't carrying their weight, you're like, what the hell's going on with you? There's back and forth all day long. It's nice when you can both laugh and be like, that little monster in the back is being an asshole right now. And, like, our humor can both appreciate how much of an asshole she's acting like.
Mickey sauce.
So Mickey sauce, and we just had a good laugh about it, put her to sleep, and it was kind of like a nice little, like, oh, yeah, like, we're pretty fun people that can, like, enjoy, like, laughing at some idiot talking about Mickey sauce because she's belligerently tired and hungry right now.
You have that moment where you're, like, again, you're two adults real quick. You're not, like, parents for a second. Yep. You're both just enjoying a good laugh.
That was the girl I dated and married.
Yeah, right, exactly, you know? Exactly.
It was cool.
Kind of insulting to me that you bragged about your kid eating fruits and vegetables.
Right on the heels.
Just went through this.
My bedtime story is something brand new that Shay's doing, which I realize is not that great for a podcast because it's audio, but she's doing this new face. She'll like fake cry because, like I said, she's getting to this annoying stage where she wants me to pick her up or she wants something that's out of her reach. And she goes like, and then she'll start to cry. And she goes like, and she makes what looks like Rocky Balboa. It looks like Rocky when he's like saying like, yo, Adrian. And her mouth is all, her jaw's cocked to the side. Her mouth's open. And she's like winking. And she does the Rocky face. And I just die laughing. And it's right on the heels of her being like, this is annoying. And I need to like be a real parent right here and like tell her no or whatever. And then she does Rocky face. And I just fucking melt and laugh and give her whatever she wants. But it is it's funny. Like, she has this new, like a new laugh recently. New faces. It's like a whole new phase that she's going through where she just looks and acts like a different person. So
she's going to know that Rocky face works on you too. Like, she's going to start pulling it out once she realizes.
They're sneaky fucks.
Fucks.
So I guess my bedtime story will be to make use of my daughter being bad, since I ranted about her being bad and it makes me frustrated.
I was
going to
say, I hope this was going to be a McCartney bedtime story here, because she's really been dragged through the mud so far this episode.
She took some heat this episode for sure. So grandma was in town and it was a little bit colder than usual, like right before we went to Houston. Like, you remember, Kevin, you said, yep, I thought it was going to be warm when I was here. Well, grandma was in town, and it was a little bit cold, and McCartney is not the most patient of little women. So she's getting in the car, and my grandma, her grandma moves pretty slowly. Like, she's not the quick, like, it takes her 45 minutes to eat, like, a blackened fish taco, and it just pisses me off to no end because she takes forever. Like, legitimately sings the birthday song with every single bite that she'll swallow because it takes forever. So McCartney wants everything to move fast. So McCartney's sitting in there. She's already buckled. The door's still open. Grandma's putting on her coat, like readjusting her pocketbook, like doing all these things. And McCartney looks deadpan. And she's like, just get in the fucking car, Grandma. Just get in the fucking car. And I'm like, well, at least she's gonna. At least if she's bad, she's.
You gotta make
be funny,
you laugh.
Like,
yeah,
time is good. Like, because the time, like, get in the fucking car, Grandma. Just get in the fucking car. And I wonder where she hears that shit from. You know, like they definitely parrot you. God. But I don't mind her cussing as long as it's appropriate.
That is
the right
fucking
word at the right time and to the right person, in my opinion. So
fucking car, Grandma. That is great. Shout out to McCartney. I'm glad she's feeling better. Don't change, kid. Just keep being you because you're a funny little fuck.
Change,
maybe change a little
change
bit.
Change a little bit.
Change a smidge.
Unless you want to hang out with the lawnmower guy for the rest of your life, because that's the next option, it sounds like.
All right, that's it for Podfathers this week. Same time, same place. Hit up the diaper bag with your emails. KFCRadio.com/askdad. We'll answer some emails next week. We'll talk to you next time. We're out.